This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, welcome to it. It's another Thursday morning, and my name is Timisha Masha, and of course, you're listening to Black Life. I'm in the studio today with some very exciting guests, so don't go anywhere. If you're a new baby daddy or a new baby mommy or thinking about it, you might want to stick around because the laws have changed over the past couple of years in terms of what you must and must not do when you have a baby under 4 years old in the car. So we're going to be talking about car seats, as well as prams, as well as other baby things. And of course, my other guest in the studio today is Kirtish Sunderson, and we're going to be talking about business in general. So yeah, man, stick around. It's Black Life. I'm going to introduce my guests a little bit later. But before I go there, I hope you're having a wonderful week. A lot of things have happened this week. Big news, Tokyo Sekgwale might actually end up being the next FIFA president. I'm not sure. Do you think he's going to do a better job than Sepp Blatter? Do you think there will be less corruption with him in charge? Well, I'd like to think so. I think Tokyo's a really... I like him. He's a great guy. And if he's listening, I know he's a billionaire, so if he can pass me some of that money, I'll say more nice things about him. But anything can happen because although he is... you know, not part of FIFA just yet, he has been put up as an official candidate for the FIFA elections that are happening in Europe soon, I'm sure. And some of the other things that have happened this past weekend, is that Casper Nyovest actually filled up the dome. If you were there, I must tell you, I had serious FOMO. I had to be at another function, so I couldn't make it. But from what I saw on social media, it looked like it was a ball. I noticed that actually Figile Mbalula as well as Julius Malema were in the same picture together, dressed as hip-hop artists, which is great. I think it's a great change because usually Julius is wearing, Garden Boy or whatever you might call it. I don't know if Garden Boy is the right word anymore. But, you know, he's always wearing those outfits, those red outfits. And this time he was actually looking like his age, which was cool. And it was nice to see the two of them together in the same picture, not fighting about anything. You know, they used to actually hang out a lot. So they're still boys, I'm sure. After the show, they went out for a couple of drinks. And who knows, maybe they met somebody there knowing... what did he call him? The Minister of Sports. He called himself something like, call me Minister Fix. Not Minister Fix Mbalula, but he had some rap name or something like that, you know? Yeah, don't forget, this is CliffCentral.com. There you go. Well, we're still at it. We're going to be at it until 12 o'clock. As I said, I have got some very, very interesting guests. So you don't want to go anywhere. I mean, just because you don't have a baby just yet, that doesn't mean that you mustn't stick around and listen to what we're going to talk about when it comes to babies. And also, we're going to be talking about... business as well, and what you need to know. Some of the everyone wants to start a business. There's this whole drive right now in South Africa that says forget about employment, go out there and start a business, which is a good idea because we need more people starting businesses so we can create more jobs. And if you are interested in starting a business, well, you shouldn't go anywhere. You should be listening to Black Life today. Also, Black Coffee has gone platinum. His new album, Pieces of Me, has been certified platinum. There you go. He was our studio guest not so long ago. Just 2 weeks ago, he was on gold. And now he has been certified platinum. If you haven't got it yet, go and get it. Because, you know, I'm just saying, he is... probably going to be nominated for a Grammy, and I really hope that he wins. But let's get to the topic of the day. How are you guys doing? In the studio with me, I've got Dr. Tahera Mukadam from Green Dot Baby. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Oh, hang on a second. Let me make sure that you're actually with us. How are you doing? Let me try that again. How are you doing?
Fine, thanks.
Ah, good. Good to see you this morning. We're going to be talking a whole bunch of things baby related, and of course, I've got Kirtish Sunderson, who also has a couple of babies, too.
Yes, I have. Two kids. You have? Not babies anymore.
Not babies anymore, right?
Absolutely.
But
not.
You've been through that whole thing.
Absolutely.
In fact, you were also in the baby industry once upon a time.
Yes, I was.
Yeah.
So I suppose we'll get to this later, but when my wife had our two kids and was looking around for something to do, came up with something in the baby industry, which I think it's fairly common when you have a baby because that's the products you're focusing on.
I must say, when I had a baby, it was the first time I was introduced to all these amazing things that are out there for babies. That's where I met Tahira, of course, at the Baby Expo this past year. And I was just surprised to hear about how much stuff there is out there for babies. And for first-time parents, you might end up overbuying, you know. But today we're focusing on safety. And of course, the legislation that has come out has been around for some time now. But the legislation says you have to have a child under 4 years old in a car seat. Under three, yes.
In South Africa, we've been a little bit late with our car safety regulations compared to the rest of the international community.
Mm-hmm.
The legislation now requires children under 3 years to be in a car seat. So you can be fined if you're found with your child not in a car seat.
Because I see that a lot, actually, on the road. There are people out there who just have their kids actually even standing up in the middle of the two front seats, and sometimes even standing up in the front seat. I think that's just crazy.
It is. Well, they say the children of the 70s are lucky to be alive. Because
yeah, I'm a child of the 70s. Yeah. I didn't think we had seatbelts. Eh?
Me too. I remember the front sitting in the middle of, I don't know if the guys know, the old Mercedes-Benz had a little seat that came forward right in the middle of the two front seats.
Wow. And that's where you sat without a seatbelt.
Absolutely.
I remember when I was a baby, not a baby, but I was quite young, and we still had those cars where the front seat was like a bench, more than two separate seats, and you just sat there. And most of the time, either they didn't have seatbelts or they definitely did not have seatbelts in the middle to start with.
Definitely. I think we're all children of the 70s.
Yeah.
The fact that we can remember that.
But now...
But what's amazing, though, I mean, having said that, I still look around a lot of times when I'm driving around. In my neighborhood, I see people with kids that are standing up while somebody's driving. It's very
unbelievable that people are still doing that.
Matter of fact, I've even seen people who have their kids in the front driving with them.
Sure. On a public road, right?
Absolutely.
It irks me. But, you know, with this legislation, what does it actually mean in terms of for the normal person out there?
The normal person. I think, you know, to put things into perspective, there's weight regulations regarding your car seats. So the first car seat that you would require is called a Group 0 car seat, and that's from birth to 13 kilos. And it usually comes together with a travel system, or it can be bought separately.
Okay.
There's also regulation requiring rear-facing and forward-facing.
Oh, yeah. That's a very important one right there, because I want to stop you there. In terms of exactly what does that mean?
Okay, so basically what it means is that your child should be looking at your back seat or your back window, if you put it that way, until they're 4 years, if you can.
Why is that so important?
It's so important because of the impact in an accident.
Mm-hmm.
So what it shows is that if a child is forward facing, meaning looking out through the windscreen,
mm-hmm.
when that impact occurs, the neck actually moves forward, and it, you know, you run the risk of snapping the neck, which is immediate death.
Yeah.
And there's no support for the child's neck.
Mm.
Whereas if they rear facing, that impact is not as...
Yeah.
So
the baby's head, basically, fatal. The inertia goes into the seat as opposed to just going forward and hoping that they'll be stopped at some point.
Yes.
I've seen people also having car seats like that, the rear-facing ones, in the front seat. Is that okay, or is that actually not allowed?
It's actually not safe, especially if your airbags are still activated.
Yes.
So if you have your car seat in the front, your airbag should be inactivated. The other thing is that essentially your child shouldn't be in the front seat.
Okay. So if you have a two-seater, I guess a Porsche Boxster is just pointless.
It's not going to work so easily.
No, definitely not. Well, you know, the life of your child is valuable.
Mm.
You know, it's a small price to pay if you look at it in the greater scheme of things.
I think maybe it's time to, like, you know, to upgrade to that, or to downgrade, whichever way you look at it, if you got that two-seater sports car, to a family sedan or hopefully an SUV, right?
Yeah, SUV is nice.
But now here's the thing. A lot of people go out there and there's so much to buy. I mean, even when I was at the Baby Expo, I noticed that there's a whole range now. There's car seats that range anything from, you know, your regular run of the mill in the early thousands, and then they go all the way up to sometimes 40,000, 50,000. What should we look out for when we buy a car seat?
Okay, so you're looking at quality, and mm-hmm. quality sometimes costs.
Okay.
So, you know, you can get an average car seat. You've got to look sort of at safety ratings. How has it been tested? Are the testing facilities internationally, you know, complying with legal standards or legislation? So, generally, there's a new concept called the ISOFIX concept, mm-hmm. which offers added safety. So, with most of your seatbelts, traditionally, they've been used with seatbelts. So, your car seats have been used with seatbelts.
Yeah, you strap the car seat into the seatbelt, basically.
Yes. So, now there's an ISOFIX base, which there are two adapters in the back of most cars.
Yes. Most cars actually have that ISOFIX thing in the back even know about until I had a baby myself.
Yes. So if you put your fingers into the back of your seat, there's two little clips that you feel, and mm-hmm. your ISOFIX base actually clips into that. So what that means is that there's a fixed base for your car seat to fit on that's attached to the car. So in the case of a collision, you know, there's added safety because the seatbelt sometimes is not as rigid as you would like it to be. And
you're going
to
be hoping that those pre-tensioners actually work like the manufacturer said they did. And if VW's recent case with the emissions is anything to go by, don't believe everything that was written in that marketing poster or print ad, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so basically, you know, ISOFIX is not compulsory in South Africa, but internationally there's a new legislation called iSize. So one of the components of iSize is that it has to be ISOFIX compliant,
okay.
meaning that you have to have the base. Thereafter, it also goes on to stipulate that the child should be rear-facing until they're 4 years old.
Mm.
So it says rear facing is safer for longer,
okay.
and iSize, you know, equates to ISOFIX essentially.
But you know, we had a list of what we needed when we wanted to go look for these car seats, because I noticed that there's different sizes for different weights, and it's not like you just buy one and one size fits all, and your baby yes. will grow into it. You kind of have to go according to their weight or something
yes,
like that.
Yes. So your group zero car seat is from birth to 13 kilos.
Mm-hmm.
Thereafter, you get a group one, which is from 13 kilos up to about 18. And then you get a group two, which is 18 to about 36. And then you get another car seat from 36 kilos and above.
Okay.
So the question becomes, what do I buy? So you get a car seat that can take you from group zero to group two. Or group one, which is 0 to 18 kilos, and they go with the stages. But in terms of practicality, you know, a lot of people buy a travel system. So your group zero car seat actually fits onto your pram.
Okay.
So most people end up buying this travel system and they get the car seat with it. You then need to look, does it have an ISOFIX option or not? And sometimes it's about affordability and practicality. So not everybody can afford to buy a booster seat immediately. So once your child is 13 kilos and then you need to get a booster seat, you can make that decision.
Okay.
Or you can do it right from the outset and say, look, I'm not going to use a group zero car seat. I'm going to buy one car seat that will do everything until they're about 18 kilos. Or you can buy some car seat options which have a universal base, which you can use a group zero and then a group one.
And then as they grow older, you just put a different car seat on.
So, okay. you know, there's options on the market, but you've got to have a tick list. You've got to decide.
What would that tick list consist of?
Number one would be the quality of the product. The testing of the product, the reputation of the product internationally. The fourth thing would be possibly to look at ISOFIX. The fifth thing would be to look at iSize compliance, and then move on from there. So if all those tick lists are met, you can say, okay, fine, I think this is a decent car seat to buy.
Okay.
Nonetheless, some parents say, you know, a car seat is better than no car seat.
Yeah.
you know, we've got challenges in South Africa.
I suppose we do, because, I mean, we've got a variety of people earning different incomes, I suppose. And you've got to really spend your last cent, if you can, on your baby, because you only have the one. They can't make another one, right?
No, they can't. They can't be replaced.
But Kitesh, you know, you've been in the baby industry, and also you've been in many other industries as a businessman. You run Sun Advisory, which is a business consultancy, and also you have I know I've heard a number of voter shops as well. How do you rate the size of the baby industry in this country?
I think as an industry, it's fairly big. I mean, I don't have the figure on what the size is in terms of rand value, but it is a big industry. I mean, everybody will tell you that there are a couple of thousand babies born every single month.
Yeah.
So essentially, what you have is an industry that will continually have customers. So it's not an industry where you sold somebody a car and they're going to wait, you know, 10 years, 20 years, and they may never buy another car. In the case of the baby industry, every single year, people are having babies. So from an attractiveness point of view, you know that there is a market, that there's always going to be 3,000-4,000 babies born every single year. And as they grow up, you know, they will then go into other sort of products. So the first year you have babies for 1 or 2 years if you're in that particular segment, but then they will grow up and become teenagers, and there's other products that will go along the line. But it is an industry that one can safely say that every single year you are going to have potential parents out there who are going to look for products and are going to look for new products. So as far as an industry is concerned, it is attractive. Mm. And it's also very emotional.
Yes.
Most people will on the first baby tend to spend exactly will tend to spend a lot more. So if you've got something to offer and it's really good quality and people are always looking for something new, then I think you definitely will find a customer base out there.
Okay. But here's the thing, right? When you are thinking of getting into any industry, including the baby industry, and you think you have something that might be of value that people would want to buy, what are some of the things that you must look out for when you start it? You know, from I've got this idea, and I suppose that can go into any industry, not necessarily just only the baby industry. You say you've got an idea. How do you know if it's even viable?
Well, the first thing, you know, my experience, let me go back to my experience, because I think people entering this particular baby industry, and if you got specific, is normally quite an emotional decision. I see a lot of entrants coming in, people who've just had babies. They generally had their second child, would then be at home perhaps looking for something other to do other than go back to work or go back to corporate.
Yeah.
And essentially, there's a lot of moms out there who have started baby shops and have entered this market.
Mm.
Because at that point, you normally go to your husband, what should I do? I've got this great product. And normally, there's a great husband behind there who's able to fund the business.
Normally.
Exactly. So he's putting
sometimes
up,
the other way around.
Exactly. So he's putting up the cash and saying, keep yourself busy. And that's how people enter this market. But the first thing is about the product you're about to sell. Now, this is an emotional decision because you may have spotted something that you find is the best thing in the world. You love it. But the question you really have to ask yourself, are you the only one that loves it, or are other people with you on this?
Yes,
is this
exactly
really a nice product, or you just like this thing?
Isn't that the thing with any product or any business that you want to go to? It's more about who is going to buy it than whether I like it or not, right?
Correct. Is there a big enough customer base that will like the product, or does my product serve a need for a big enough base of customers? Because ultimately, you're not going to be selling to yourself. You're going to be selling to other people who see value in what you're offering. And that's critical, because I think it's one of the mistakes people make all the time. They literally think, I think this is the greatest looking thing. Everybody's going to want one. I'm going to import this, or I'm going to try and sell it. And then you realize afterwards that, listen, there's only like 10 people in the room that potentially like this thing that I thought was the best thing in the world.
Me and my friends. But then how do you get around like trying to figure out what it is that might work in any given market or industry? I mean, we're specifically talking about the baby industry right now, but in any industry, is there a checklist to see if this actually might be viable for a particular market, or do you just hope?
No, I do believe everybody who's going to enter any kind of business has to be an optimist. That essentially, I'm going to be able to sell this. They've got to start with that point of view in the back of your mind. But there's some indicators that are clear. So, for example, if a product has done well overseas and people are buying it, there is definitely a need. The question then is to say, well, how come people overseas are buying this? Are there similar groups of people that are buying it somewhere else that are in my context? So for example, you could see a great product, and I'm speaking from experience, you see a great product overseas, people are buying it. But then
this was when you were in the baby industry, correct, right? You sold baby blankets for some time.
My wife got into the business and sold Taggies baby blankets originally.
Okay.
And we imported that. So we had to make a call. And this is how we really made the decision. We said, well, this product is an international product. Are we happy with the quality? Is there a use? Is there a need for this product? And do we feel that there is mothers out there in South Africa who would understand what this product is and would be able to use it? That was the first thing. The second bit of analysis we would have done would have said, okay, if we had it, how would we enter this market? Let's have a look at the industry. Let's have a look at which retailers are out there. And we knew there were a few big ones. And then we knew there was a whole lot of smaller individually owned baby stores. And you make some assumptions. You assume I would be able to reach those, or we would be able to reach those. So that's how we initially said. But there was no hard and fast answer. So we did some research. So we said, okay, listen, the clever thing to do is let's do some research. Let's get the product. Let's go out there and meet some of these owners, and let's have a discussion with them, show them the product, and say, what do you think? Do you think your customers could buy this?
Okay.
And you need to go out there and have this conversation.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. We saw 10 different individual owners of businesses. Five said yes and five said no. Now what do you do?
So
conducting
50% conversion rate.
Correct.
Hi, BC.
so even though you're out there and you're doing all your market research, you get people who will say no, it won't do, and people who say yes, it will.
Yes.
And I think if you talk to your family, they always try and protect you, your friends, and say, you know, maybe you shouldn't try this. It's a big investment. And they generally are looking at it from an emotional point of view, and they don't really see a value in selling. So we then said, okay, now we've got this 50-50 scenario where some people said they love it, some people say it's never going to work. What are we going to do? So we worked out how much is it going to cost us to potentially import the first shipment. And we said to ourselves, if I'm investing X amount of money and we didn't make it, would I be prepared to lose that and walk away from that business?
And be okay.
And be okay. And that's when you say, okay, well, let's make this decision because I understand the exit. If for example, the supplier of whatever you're trying to sell says, I want a contract and you've got to buy 7 containers a month, and you work that out and you say, well, if we don't do well with these 7 containers, I am literally dead. Then I think the decision is quite clear. Don't do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go back to you, Tahira, because you know, you spoke about something that was really important that you just mentioned in passing, which was a travel system.
Yes.
Now, for the average consumer out there, they want something that it's actually going to be as much as possible all in one, you know.
Yes.
What do you look out for when you're trying to buy a travel system? A baby seat that will obviously attach to a pram, right?
Well, that's not just the be all and end all of it. So a travel system essentially means you buy a pram or push chair, and then you can interchange your car seat on the pram. So it makes it easy because now, you know, even if you travel to Cape Town or Durban, or you're just going to warm baths for the weekend, you need to have your car seat. So in the first, you know, 4 to 6 months, the baby sleeps predominantly for most of the day. And so your car seat becomes an integral part of your daily living. So when you're buying your pram, you want something that you can use on there. If your baby's sleeping in the car, you easily remove your car seat from the car and you can clip it on without having to physically remove your baby, you know, from the pram.
Oh, clever.
Yeah. So that's why a travel system is appealing to a lot of new parents. The ISOFIX base doesn't always come with the travel system, so that's something you'd have to look at a later stage. And then when you're choosing your pram or your travel system, you need to look at the practicality of the product that you're buying. Does it suit your lifestyle? You know, do you want something?
Are you going to be running with the pram, or are you just going to be walking through the mall, right?
Yes. So basically, you know, at the moment, there's such a variety of prams on on the market, and you can get everything from a small little buggy to something that's big, like a 4x4, essentially, if you want to compare. Dads always love that comparison.
Yeah,
like, you know,
suspension systems and everything.
Yeah. So, you know, the wheels have suspension. If you're a runner, you can run with it. Some of them actually have lights.
Wow. Some, what?
Yes, they charge as you run. So there's lots of fun gadgety prams, and then there's the practical, I need a pram. They all do the same thing. The child sits in it and I push it. Mm. You know, then you go on to look at rear facing and forward facing.
Yeah.
There's a new concept about, you know, contact with the child. So, you know, the baby needs to see the mum. So you need to have an interchangeable seat, meaning that it needs to face you and then it needs to face the world.
But that's costly though.
Not necessarily. It's just a clip, right?
Yeah. So basically, the actual seat on your pram clips off, and then you can face it the other way.
I'll tell you why, from personal experience. So
you had a baby.
your before first. Before you.
Yeah.
Can I just put it out there?
But what did you learn? What did you learn?
So that makes me a senior dad.
You didn't teach me a thing. Go on.
That's why you went and bought the whole of Mr. Price home all these Edgars.
Not Mr. Price or Edgars. It was all boutique.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
The one experience that I had was, you know, a friend of ours at a baby shower bought us these interchangeable prams.
Yes.
Now, we went and costed that thing because we weren't happy with the color and blah, blah, blah. You know, women want their specifics.
They want what
moms
they want.
Should choose the prams.
Yeah. So we went there and we costed this thing, and this thing was like 8,500 rand. Mm-hmm. And we thought, jeepers, this is a lot of money for a pram.
Yes.
And this is like baby city. And then we went back and wifey wasn't happy with this price, so she now took a cheaper version of the pram.
Yes.
And she said it does the same thing, and I think that was about 2,500 rand, give or take, you know. So in terms of pricing, why is baby equipment so expensive? And it's almost like the more additions you want.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
Right.
What car do you drive?
Oh, that's not fair.
You want to tell us, or should I? You want to say it, or should I? Because it's going to come out.
Fair.
It's coming out.
I drive a car to get me from point A to point B.
A Mercedes to get you from point A to point B.
Yeah, but you can buy another brand.
That's the family car.
Yeah,
the wife has her own. You have your own. You have his and hers Mercedes.
Okay.
So back to your question.
Right.
Why do you drive a Mercedes when you could have bought a cheaper car?
I did have a cheaper car.
Okay,
but it might
not
have ISOFIX whatchamacalls in the seats if it's cheaper, isn't it?
No, funny enough, the cheaper car had ISOFIX. The Merc doesn't.
It does. Mine Which one
doesn't.
Do you drive?
A C200.
I've got a C200. I've got ISOFIX.
Yeah, it doesn't have ISOFIX. But what it does have, we had to buy the base.
Yeah, so the base clips into the little clips in
Correct.
The back of your car. That's ISOFIX.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the back seat.
No. ISOFIX is actually written on the the new cars don't have ISOFIX.
They do.
They do.
Really?
In Europe it's
I'll
now.
I'll show you on your car. I'll show you on your car when you walk
outside. So you see, this brings us back to the point
that there's three Mercedes drivers.
Yeah.
Y'all should know.
Yeah, I should know. Yes. But the problem with Mercedes drivers, they're only in the front seat. They're not really looking at the back.
Unless you're the mum.
Unless you're the mum. But to get back to some practicalities.
Yeah.
What one of the things you realize when you buy a pram of any size is you're not necessarily going to be the one lifting it in and out your boot.
Mm.
Right.
So most people will go out and buy these things, but essentially the mom will end up taking your son or your daughter to the stores, going to the malls, and that's when you realize when you realize the value of having something that was quick to fold, quick to load in, quick to take out, because that's when you really see wasting 5 minutes to try and put something together or something that doesn't really fit in your boot.
Well, here's a sales pitch. You know, you've seen the ad. South Africa is a one of a kind country.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for me personally, I have a car guard that lifts my big pram in and out of my car.
Okay.
And
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
to us,
extra
that
five
is,
rand.
Yeah, that, you know, it's not a huge deal.
Right.
You know, so when you look at the international market, or you look at Europe or the States or whatever, public transport is a huge thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Depending on which LSM you're in South Africa, it becomes relevant or it becomes irrelevant as to what size of pram you buy.
Okay.
But obviously, when you want the bells and whistles and you want the rear-facing, forward-facing, 180-degree flat recline, interchangeable with your car seat, that costs. You know, you want suspension.
And a lot of money.
It costs a lot of money.
A lot of money.
But isn't
but
a lot of
it's your child.
Yeah, but isn't a lot of the cost? I noticed that a lot of the costs go into like the research and development. So some of the products that do cost a little bit more have got a lot more research and development. The materials are organic.
Yes.
They don't have the wrong kind of plastics on them for the baby. On and on. I wanted to ask you a very important question as well that we haven't touched on, especially in those... I think it's group zero, you call them, car seats.
Yes.
A lot of people...
Is that the cheaper El Cheapos?
No, not necessarily the cheap ones, but the first for the first couple of months.
Zero
of baby.
To 13 kilos, which is roughly a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, you put your baby in there and they fall asleep and sometimes you just leave them in there for a long trip and then you just leave them in there when you get where you're going. Apparently, that's not very safe.
Yes, it's not safe. There's just been a recent post. I don't know if you guys on Facebook, if you're into all the mummy stuff or the kiddie
now
stuff.
We
into
are.
The daddy
now,
stuff.
Yeah.
Now we are.
You know, there's been a death overseas from in a childcare center where a child was left in the car seat.
Sure.
And the child subsequently demised.
Was that not cot death though?
Not necessarily. So the position in which your child is placed in the car seat is not conducive to keeping the sort of airway open. So that's why you shouldn't keep your child in a car seat for more than about 45 minutes at a time.
And we're talking about the group zero, which is the
first
group car
zero,
seat.
The first car seat. Because obviously
36,
they don't have a lot of
kilos.
Neck control.
Yes. Mm.
So, you know, that position sometimes can lead to...
Which is the head facing the forward.
Yeah.
And they can actually scrunch up their neck and the airways are literally blocked. So you have to take them out every 45 minutes.
Yes.
Up until they're about, I suppose you said a year at 13 kilos.
Yeah, so you know,
kilos.
As they... once at 13 kilos, you move the car seat. But at about 6 to 8 months, the risk becomes lower.
Yeah.
And, you know, they don't want to sit in the car seat for that long anyway.
My child doesn't like a car seat, period.
Yes. So,
so how do we do this? But it's also the is it group zero? The ones where it's still facing
the back.
The back.
Yes.
Yes.
But nowadays, even the ones after that are facing the back. In fact, like Tahir was saying, in Europe, up until the child is 4 years old, the law now is that the car seats have to face
opposite.
The rear.
Yeah. So it's rear facing, meaning it faces the back seat. So I think the car manufacturers need to put it like an iPad screen there. Or
Instead of those
you know,
monkey
it's,
mirrors.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what I found helps is just getting some toys that clip on to that car seat so that she's got something to play
to
with or look at
her,
to entertain herself with while she's in there.
And a lot
of people say, you know, I remember the first couple of times putting the baby in the car seat and my wife was like, but she's crying. And I say, you know what, maybe I'm just a father, I'm not the mother.
The disciplinary.
But I'm like, who's the parent here?
Yes.
Sometimes a child will cry and won't like certain things. It's your responsibility at the end of the day because you can't after an accident say, well, the baby was crying.
Oh my
we didn't
God,
put them in the car seat.
A daddy. Oh my gosh.
So just say, you know what? She'll cry, but she won't die.
Yes. Yeah, you
it's
know.
Better to have a crying baby than a dead baby.
Yeah, you know, you need to stop and take the baby out, soothe her. Stop at a garage if you can.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
put
the baby back.
So she
because,
gets used to it.
You know, it is safer and... You know, it's kind of like insurance.
Mm,
you only appreciate it when you have it.
Yeah, when you have
or
that
when
accident.
You have that accident.
Out,
yeah.
Or when they pay out.
Precisely, because, you know, other than that, if you find, you never realize the value. But people who've been in an accident will tell you, you know, thank God. I mean, I've had family who've been in an accident where both, you know, the parents were injured, but the children were in their car seats.
Yeah.
In the middle of the road.
Yeah.
I think you as a parent have to obviously look at that and make the choice. You know, what if something happens, would you forgive yourself for not buying the
right car seat and making the child sit in the car seat?
Absolutely.
We're going to go to a commercial break quickly, and when we come back, we're going to talk about starting the business. Here we.
I have a big company with many sites across Africa, each needing a hefty investment in hardware and software. And it's such a waste. So many resources are unused for most of the month.
You need MTN Business Cloud, powered by Microsoft technology. Our scalable solution enables you to manage your infrastructure, which allows you to buy exactly what you need. With a footprint covering over 23 countries, isn't it time you found out about the cloud solution built to build African businesses? Welcome to the new world of business.
All right, we're back. And this is still Black Life on Cliff Central. That's us. And we're talking all things baby, and we're specifically talking about also car seats and starting a business as well. Not only a baby-based business, but any business that you are thinking of starting, this is the right place to be if you want to hear more about that. But there was a really interesting question from one of our colleagues about car seats just now as well.
Yeah.
In the States, you can't?
You can't. Well, in South Africa and in the States, most places around the world, is a nurse actually literally walks with you to your car, and you have to obviously have a car seat for you to take the baba home. You can't be carrying
when you take the baby from the hospital home.
The first time.
Ah.
But now the question is,
well, that depends. If you had your baby,
if I don't have a car,
Jogo, Jen,
I'm going to come by there. I must put it in a taxi, or how do we do this?
That's
thing?
A good question, man.
Well, you see,
really,
we are one of a kind country. So you know, you ask yourself, a lot of our deaths on the roads come from public transport. I don't know if you recall, there was a big bus accident on Jan Smuts a few months ago.
Yes.
And you know, sometimes you sit and you think to yourself, if there's children on that bus, if there's children in the taxi, what happens? I mean, you know, legislation's come this far, but what have they done, you know, in terms of the general public, which is the majority of our population using public transport every day? So it's a good question to pose. I don't have the answers.
I think one of the things what happens now is people still hand over your baby and you carry it out, and the mom would get in the back seat and you would drive home, and that's the reality for most people in South Africa.
Right.
But I think there is a couple of initiatives that I've heard of where people who have these car seats, once your kids have grown up, what do you do with them? And I think there have been some initiatives.
Make more kids, no?
Wow. that's another story. But once you're done with your car seat, you said, what do you do with them? And most people have been donating and trying to circulate those car seats to other people, because that would be the right kind of thing to do. It's also about economics. Not everybody can afford that car seat.
Yeah.
But I think those who have them and they're sitting in the garage
Yeah, there's a lot of people with car seats in the garage.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've seen so many. They should literally give it to somebody else. And what the key thing now, what's changed now is that everybody, when they're having a baby, would like to go and buy their own new stuff.
Yes.
Their own baby. So in the old days, we would recycle, give it to a cousin, give it to somebody else who wants to use it, and they would gladly take it.
Yeah.
But I think now it's become a different thing where if you're giving somebody something and they are, I suppose, in the upper earning bracket, they think, well, why are you giving it to me? What do you think? I can't afford a car seat.
It's about, I can't afford it?
Exactly. So how dare you try and give it to me?
Yeah.
So I think in that sort of circumstance, you should really, really give it to somebody.
Find someone in South Africa.
Absolutely. Or look up these initiatives that do take it from you.
Yeah. Or you can go shop at Dumisha's house.
Yeah, there is a place called Well Wheel at the Brightwater Commons.
Yes,
where you can, take through your car seats. They actually refurbish it.
Wow.
And make sure that it's compliant. They're very nice, and they, you know, it's a very good organization.
Now, do you buy the car seat?
They actually donate a lot of car seats. To people who can't afford car seats.
Right.
So it's a very good cause, and I think, you know, if you have extra car seats sitting in your garage, please take it through. Mm-hmm. Right.
I think we need to start a campaign on our show to collect car seats.
I think so.
Hey?
Let's do that. I'm down.
But then what do we do with like the hospitals in Mayfair where guys don't actually check once you leave the hospital whether Baba is in a car seat or, I suppose it's, you know.
One of the challenges, I think, as well, it's about creating awareness and just creating the knowledge.
Right.
A lot of people don't really know that they should be doing that, essentially, or understand the benefits. So I think one of the things you'll learn in the baby industry is a lot of the new things, you almost have to educate your potential customer.
Yeah.
Right.
Because
before you actually sell the product.
Correct. So it's the same thing with somebody who comes from a paradigm where, you know, car seat is not the biggest thing item on their list. So now you're putting this thing. So they need to understand, have a little bit of knowledge that this is something that could potentially save my baby's life. So I think that you have to then almost educate the public on benefits first before everyone else essentially then moves to the second stage to prioritize the need. But we are facing a situation now where there are many, many needs that people have. And unfortunately, this is one that does slip to the bottom.
Mm. Well, I think, you know, safety, the car seats is one aspect of the safety when it comes to your baby. There's other, you know, risks as well.
Right.
With regards to the cots that you use, the linen that you use, the fabrics that you
use. Yeah, I wanted us to get into that sort of thing. What do you look out for, you know? Some things actually look nice, but they're not safe.
Yes.
Or practical.
Yeah. And that goes across the range with anything that you're going to buy for your baby.
Yes.
Something as important as linen, because there's cot death syndrome, right? What should you look out for there?
Well, you see, cot death is not directly related to linen per se.
Necessarily. Yeah.
But essentially, when you're buying fabric, you need to look at breathable fabrics. You know, so cotton. When you're buying your mattress as well, you need to see that it's breathable. And often we're not told, so we don't know. There's no standard in South Africa. I mean, if you look at Australia, for them, like a simple camp cot, the risk that it's collapsible, it has to comply with certain standards. So, you know, all these things together are things that, you know, South Africa needs to look at very stringently, and we need to start investigating, educating, as you say, the general public, and infiltrating, because as new parents, we often don't know. And part of the reason I'm here is because you realize there's such a lack of awareness.
Yeah.
And with the platform possibly that I have as a doctor or medical person, it's also an opportunity for me to educate and to tell people what's out there, what's not. I mean, daily interactions with my patients, you know, you tell them simple things and they're like, oh, I didn't know, you know?
But here's the thing, right? In fact, you mentioned that you're a doctor, and I was going to say,
you
are a medical doctor. Your husband is a pharmacist. What made you guys decide to go into the baby industry?
Well, like it was said, you know, I fell pregnant.
Yeah. Or is it an Indian thing?
Shame.
Possibly.
It's a general thing.
So you know, I had a bit of a difficult journey in terms of my pregnancies. I had two miscarriages. I was subsequently diagnosed with endometriosis.
That's happening a lot to young ladies and young women out there.
English.
Basically, it's... There is an autoimmune basis to it, which means that the body reacts to itself.
Right.
And there's a formation of scar tissue on the endometrium.
Which is in the womb,
which is the lining. So essentially that either causes you to miscarry or to not fall pregnant.
Yeah.
And the treatment generally is to have a laparoscope and to have the scar tissue removed, which I underwent.
Yeah, my wife underwent that as well.
And I subsequently fell pregnant.
Beautiful.
Actually, two pregnancies, 11 months apart.
Okay. Oh, wow.
So I've got two lovely
girls. Get them out the way.
I think that deserves a round of
applause. Wait, hold up. I got it right here. Are we still going to continue with the applause? Because I got applause.
Yes.
Where's my applause? Keep going. Where's my applause? My applause is lost. I lost my applause.
We'll give you the...
Okay, we'll give you a horn instead then. How about that?
Thanks, yes. And so basically my husband's a pharmacist and he had a pharmacy in a center which wanted him to relocate. So they gave him double the space. So he wanted to open a medical practice and he wanted me to run it. I'm pregnant, you know. I'm like, really? And we didn't find anyone.
Sounds about right, Katesh.
Yeah.
Sounds about right. That was a slave driver mentality.
There is the theory and then there is the reality, which is they're basically two miles apart.
Right.
And so, you know, I was pregnant, Google, looking for all the products and, you know, we couldn't find a doctor to take over the premises. I do a bit of aesthetics and wellness.
Aesthetics as well?
Yes.
Okay.
So I contacted one of the companies and I said, don't you guys want to open a branch and I'll spearhead it for you? And they didn't really get back to us and we started shopping, or I started shopping. So I said, why don't we just open a baby store? You know, I said, pharmacy, you've got pregnant mums. You know, it kind of goes together. They're coming to buy their vitamins and immunizations and, you know, so you open a baby store and you'll be able to service both needs.
Yeah.
So he says, you've had some good ideas, but I don't think this is now your brightest. So we went shopping. And at that time, there was a pram, costed 15,000 rand. And he said, you know what? If you really want it, please buy it. I don't want to hear that I said no, you know, and it's the first baby and, you know.
Similar kind of experiences there, guys.
Yeah,
eh?
No, very similar kind
of experiences. Guys know that there's certain battles
you don't need to lose.
Certain ones you need to lose.
So anyway, came home and he says, you know, I was thinking, when I'm at the pharmacy, you know, sometimes there's a levy for the medication that you buy. It's $100, $150. This is a guy across. I pay so much for medical aid. I need to now pay a levy. Why? You know? He says, you know that I told you to buy a pram for 15,000 rand, apart from your cot, which is another 11. And, you know, I didn't blink. I told you if you really want it, please buy it. It's for the baby. And, you know, and he says it's not a grudge purchase. You happy to spend that money.
Yeah.
And you know, there was a passion from my side in that, you know, he even told me, he says, haven't you had enough of baby? And I was like, yeah, okay. 11 o'clock at night, I'm on Google looking top products, top baby products 2012. And he says, you know, I think you're onto something. Maybe let's do this. And that's how we got into baby. And, you know, it wasn't for the want of money. It wasn't for the want of anything. Just a passion. You know, and I think
that's the most important thing.
Yeah,
right? Start
I think
with a passion.
We should have met you before, because all the questions that you said we should have asked.
Yeah.
We're only asking now.
Yeah,
I want to just add to that from a, which is one part. When you're starting out, you initially think you know your target market. You think you initially know the industry. I mean, when we looked at it, you generally say, well, everybody's going to have a baby. Everybody's going to, so they're going to want this product. But I think when you get into it and you get to understand your real market, the only way you do that is when you're out there trying to sell your product to a potential customer. Here's some interesting.
Is that not too late?
No, it is a bit too late. If you can do the research before, I mean, if I, in retrospect, had gone to a baby show and taken a job in one of the stands and had actually tried to sell a baby product, I think the insights that I would have got from that, or anybody gets from that, would be very different. But here are some gems that you find out afterwards. You realize that your market isn't who you thought your market was.
Right.
You realize that, wait a second, when one of the things we did, we tried to get into all the stores. What you realize is all stores don't order consistently all the time. Therefore, you're going to have months where you're going to have lots of sales, and then you're going to have some dry months when you have no sales.
Okay.
And even though these stores don't have your product, they don't order. That's a South African thing. People order because of their cash flow needs. So as their cash flow reduces, they may need your product. It may actually sell, but they won't reorder from you. And therefore, you as a business owner needs to factor that in. But here's something else you need to know, is when you know your customer, you will know who you actually sell to. You will realize that most people, who, when they're having their first baby, will be open to new products, will be prepared to make an emotional buy.
Right.
But when they're having the second and third child, they know exactly what they need and what they don't need. And you won't sell to that particular, if you're selling a niche product, you won't necessarily sell to that customer again.
Yes.
Secondly, we understand how different cultures buy differently. So you understand that, for example, if a woman's going to have her first child and she's working, she generally has a credit card and she makes the decisions. Walks in, emotionally attached to your product, will pull out the card and buy it. The husband could say, I don't think it's great. I don't know why you need this. But she'll buy the product. The second or third time around, when perhaps she's on maternity leave, perhaps she's even left work to raise her kids, the husband plays a greater role now in deciding what we should buy and what not. And then certain cultures will only come with an extended family. So who you're actually selling to, not to the person having the baby, but you're selling to
the
person's mother.
Yeah.
So they would come and say, no, you don't really need this. 20 years ago, we never used these things.
We never had car seats 20 years ago. Look at you, you're alive.
Correct. Look at you. Everything's fine. Oh, no, this thing looks, I mean, we sold baby blankies. And a couple of people would say, yeah, but this is just a cloth. I could just go and buy some cloth and stitch it together and you've got the product.
Precisely.
But that's, you got to then you start realizing and you hone in your skills. So you know when you're selling the product, who's going to come to you and simply be an information gatherer.
Right.
Which is going to ask you about everything. And there's something about South Africans which you will only learn in practice.
Yes.
When they come and you've given them this long speech, about how great this product is.
The pitch.
They don't really want to say, oh, I'm not interested, you know, I can't afford this.
They'll say, I'll come back.
No. The next thing they're going to say, can I have a pamphlet? And essentially...
Oh, really?
Essentially, there's a culture of pamphlet collectors.
Yeah.
Which essentially take the pamphlet... Because
that's what we did.
Correct. So what you do is you as the business person are sitting there thinking, I've given a product, I could potentially have a sale, so you feel good. Hmm. The other person is taking the pamphlet thinking, well, I'll think about it. But you almost have made the decision right there. You know who will sell, who will buy and who will not buy. So these things you really learn afterwards. And I think most people who are starting the business, the couple of things they need to understand about this industry, if you're importing a product, in the last 5 years, that product has doubled in price. Yes. So therefore, what you started out with when the rand was at 8 to the dollar, it's now near 14. You can't put your price up to the same extent and expect to sell the same volume. So this is a big... Anybody considering this industry and importing a product,
right,
understand that's the reality. I have actually seen in the last few years some great brands disappear. And they were great products because we bought them.
Right.
I looked through the list now and they're nowhere to be seen.
Mm. Well, we have to wrap up though.
Yeah,
so
yeah. I've got a quick question.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do you... what happened to the blanket business, for example? Did it close down?
No. Ours was a different thing. We were obviously new in the market. We were marketing. We did very, very well that in respect of that. There was a takeover overseas, which meant the whole... our supplier was taken over. And essentially that led to a decision, and they had distribution almost everywhere.
Right.
So it came to a decision of saying, do we continue or do we look at something else? And that's the point of time you make that kind of decision. You know, do we want to continue? And matter of fact, for us, in hindsight, it was perhaps a good thing. Because I mean, if I looked at our product then, it was a premium price product. It was, but the quality matched the quality.
Right.
But if I look at it now, and if we have to reprice it at the current rand value, perhaps when we decided to exit was a good time.
A good time. Yeah. Okay. Tahira.
Yes.
In closing, you were going to say.
In closing. Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, I think from our perspective with regards to Green Dot Baby, we try to offer a service where there's nice to haves and there's must haves.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times it's about making the sale with a particular brand.
Mm.
For me personally, I think there's a fit for everyone. It's about what you can afford. It's about what's nice to have. It's about whether you can afford the luxuries. And I try to do that to be true to myself. When somebody comes to me and they say, you know, I want this. And I'm like, but why do you want to buy it? You've got to tell me why.
Mm.
And often the honesty is appreciated more than trying to make the sale.
Yeah, that's very true actually in business as well. Yeah. To have customers come back because I know I can trust you. So next time when I do have like a ton of money and I want to spend with you, I am sure that what I'm getting is actually what I need, even if it's a luxury purchase.
Yes.
Am I correct?
Yes.
In closing, where can we find Green Dot if we want to buy more stuff for the
babies? We've got two stores. One's in the south at Kumaro Crossing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know where the Glen is. We're up the road from the Glen at Kumaro Crossing Value Mart. It's on Kumaro Street in Oakdean. And we're just about to launch our new store on the corner of William Nickel and Republic.
Opposite the Pick and Pay.
Opposite the Pick and Pay. Diagonally opposite, next to Chaplin's Grill. I think people know Chaplin's Grill or the signs up
or
there.
That car. That
Monte
car,
Carlo
Monte Carlo
Auto.
Car
We're
auto.
In the center there.
You live right next... Well, it's right next door to where you stay.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely.
So
right next
you'll
door.
Be, you'll be there. But your kids are like almost teenagers now.
Mine are grown, but I will visit. She's next to the Amici Pizza.
Yes.
I'm sure you go there a lot on the weekend.
The Amici Pizza.
Yeah. So we've just taken over what used to be the Peg Perego showroom. But now we'll be incorporating a number of international brands. So please visit us. It's at Nickel Way Center, corner of William Nickel and Republic, and it's 61 Woodland Street.
Cool. Well, I'll be sure to come through. I know that my wife probably wants more stuff.
Sure.
No doubt.
And I also want
more stuff for the baby.
Yes.
It's actually a lot of fun buying stuff for the baby because it's a purchase as a father that I've realized you don't feel any guilt about it. Even if, yeah. Like, I remember before the baby was born, I went to the store in Sandton and I bought her first outfit for like $1,000 something. And everyone was like, but she's only going to wear it once. And she only did wear it once.
Yes, yes.
But it felt far less guilty than spending that kind of money out to dinner or anything else.
Yeah,
huh?
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's
absolutely
a lovely purchase.
There is some joy in being able to buy products that are useful and nice. So there is, that's where the emotional good feeling comes from.
Yeah.
Well, don't worry, apart from baby, my kids are growing. They're 2.5 and 3.5. So Green Dot Kids is probably on its way as well.
Oh, all right.
Punt it. That's right. Okay, punt it, doctor.
We got to get out of here. Make sure that you catch us again next week, Thursday, from 11 to 12. And if you can't, make sure that you get the podcast. It's on cliffcentral.com. And get the app. Get the app right away, because then it makes it all easier. Monobies?
From us?
Yeah?
It's a good Thursday. Thank you for coming on the show, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much. This is CliffCentral.com.